It's time to get brutally honest.
We talked about it before, and Jamie said, or did you guys already ask this?
Yes.
I think I know where it's going. Fork in the road.
Yeah, fork in the road.
Rock bottom.
Rock bottom, where you move on.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my goodness.
There it is, right? It's been a while.
That's why analysts say, oh, my goodness, because they can't believe what happened.
This is Overdrive on TSN 1050, the official voice of the Leafs.
I follow this girl on Twitter who is a massive Eagles fan, lives in Philly. In every game, it was like, Wentz, MVP, hashtag MVP. I love this team, hashtag fly Eagles fly. I thought about her today. It was just, her Twitter handle came up. It was like, I want to puke. She can't deal.
It's funny how... You know, we're a local radio station, local show. We're up on TSN 2 day in, day out, which makes us national. But a lot of times we focus on what's going on in Toronto. And clearly today, people are buzzing about TFC, about the Leafs, about the Raptors, about how Giancarlo Stanton is now a Yankee and what that means for the Jays and the AL East. And there's some big, big stories here in Toronto. And big stories in the States. Again, Stanton, the winter meetings in baseball. There's big news in the NBA all the time. They're doing like record ratings out of the gate. And there's this focus on the NFL as if it's a dying breed or they're in big trouble. And you throw on PTI, we had it up in studio. Guess what was the first like five topics of the day?
Wentz.
NFL. Like Wentz into Panthers, into Big Ben and Antonio Brown, into the Bills game. Like Carson Wentz blowing out his knee. It's tragic if you're an Eagles fan. Like, it really is tragic. Like, we're talking about Matthews and what he's going through right now. By no means is he done for the year. By no means is his injury, whatever it is, leading Leaf fans to contemplate just jumping off a bandwagon and saying, I can't do it anymore. If you're an Eagles fan, you know your season is done. I think Nick Foles is going to be stepping in. I can't believe he's still with the organization.
Well, that was her next tweet. Come on, Foles. You can guide this team.
I can't believe he's still with the Eagles. Like, he was the Chip Kelly wonder child that had that unbelievable season where he threw, like, 27 touchdowns and two picks, and they went to the playoffs, and he was going to be the next wave.
Well, wasn't he the guy that took over for Vic?
Yeah, he was. And he was money his first year. Like, it was him and Chip Kelly connected, and it worked out. And then the next year, he was awful, and he's been off the sports radar for like 2 or 3 years. And now he's now flung like, into a situation.
Come on, brother.
Where he's taken over for a guy who owns that city. Like, that's an Eagle city. Carson Wentz, in his second year, has been just a spectacular find for them, a great trade for them to move up. They're 11-2, and they're done. They're done. They're 11-2, and they're done. Now, they're still going to hold on to the division. They're not going to lose the seed. They've already clinched a playoff spot. They're in. But if you're the Vikings, all of a sudden you're like, even with Case Keenum as our quarterback, who's been very good for them, we got a shot here. If you're the Saints, if you're the Panthers, if you're the Falcons, if you're the Rams, if you're the Seahawks, like, it's open now. Now, I think the NFC was, there was no guarantees the Eagles were going to roll through the NFC anyway. It's a deeper conference.
It was kind of trending that way, though.
But they looked like clearly the best team in the conference.
Yeah, destroying everyone.
They have a plus 154 point differential, more than any other team in the conference by a lot. Like, they were legit, offense, defense, but they've lost their starting left tackle. They've lost defensive players. And I saw their coach come out, Doug Peterson, today and be like, we've lost guys in the past and we've recovered from it. We've moved on. You can use that speech for every other position. Every other position on both sides of the ball.
I've only seen it work once, that speech, when Forsberg went down and the Avalanche were like, we're still going to win this cup. I'm like, no, you're not. And they did it.
But you can't compare a first or second line center to a quarterback.
I know, because there's only one of them.
There's only one of them.
And they had Joe Sakic.
They still had Sakic. They still had Pat Waugh. I was going to call him Roy. I was going to go Cherry on that, and I stopped. But they had Waugh. They had
But Blake still, you would think when Forsberg goes down, you're...
Oh, I'm not saying I don't remember my take at that point, but I'm sure I was thinking they're in trouble. I'm sure the whole league did. You were playing at that point. Everyone was very impressed that they found a way to overcome that. But if you're in Philly, the 10 other offensive positions, you can overcome injuries. The 11 defensive positions, you can overcome injuries. You can't overcome Carson Wentz. He's done. Your team is done. You're 11-2. You're done.
Yep.
You're done. Nick Foles, I mean, I just cannot
Good
picture
luck
a scenario where he possibly leads them to a Super Bowl. You know, now they'll have home field advantage in the first game. They might be an underdog. They might be an underdog in the first game at home of the playoffs.
Yeah, they will be.
They probably will be, because old Nicky Foles has to take the torch and run with it. All right, Ray joining us here. Ray Farrar, we missed out on Ray. He was supposed to be on at 5. He's got things on the go, so we moved them back, and he's... I guess we're lucky enough to have Ray join us now on Overdrive, brought to you by Valiant Financial. This isn't house-related, is it?
No. I was at a CBC seminar today. I don't know if I've mentioned this, but Chris Cuthbert and I are doing the Olympics, and so we were getting our first overload of information today.
So you're like calling games for CBC, like the gold medal game and all that kind of stuff?
We are doing the entire tournament, start to finish, Chris and I.
Every game?
Yeah, so...
That's yep. a joke.
There is a... Why is it a joke?
Well, I mean, how do you even... Like, isn't there a bunch of games going on at the same time? You can't do every game. Isn't there another crew?
No, all the men's games are consecutive. They're all in one rink.
Dude.
Oh, I know. Oh, I know. This is this will make the World Junior Tournament workload seem like a walk in the park. This is a lot of games.
So let me get this straight. You're going to be calling the World Juniors in Buffalo.
Yes.
Then you're going to South Korea to call the Olympics.
Yes.
And I'm assuming you're going overseas to the World Championships.
Yeah, I have three fabulous tournaments to do this year. This is going to be a good year.
Stop it. You're going to be so miserable by the end. You're going to be miserable.
Are you kidding me?
Oh,
I don't have
to
travel anywhere. I just, like, that's one flight.
Well, I guess you're right. Once you're there, that is different. You don't have to fly from Columbus to Dallas to Toronto to Vancouver, but...
I mean, it's not like these studio guys, like, oh, they get their shorts in a knot when they got to walk from... You know, Studio 6 if the catering's too far down the hall.
Well, he's going to Buffalo for the World Juniors, and he's
furious. All the way. All the way.
Yeah. All the way from Toronto to Buffalo, and he's not happy.
Hey, by the way, did you think at all, though, when you were watching the game yesterday from Buffalo, that we got an outdoor game there on the 29th?
Oh, my God. I was actually thinking about that. Like, where am I going to be situated? Like, I hope Bob and Duthie get the panel, like, I don't want to be outdoors at all.
Like, it's an outdoor game. It'll be tough to be indoors, won't it?
Yeah, I know. I get it. But where are you going to be? Are you going to be, like, ringside? Like,
no. I guess we're up in a booth, which
yeah.
is
Well, why
nice.
Can't I be in a booth, too?
You
oh,
could
I
be
think
in
you
a
guys
minivan
should be
in the parking
level.
Lot. What if they threw to O on the in a minivan in the parking lot?
Bill's Mafia. It's like a tailgate.
I want to get Bobby Mack to pick me up and throw me on a table and break a table before the game.
Oh, I think we're on to a pregame segment here.
Yeah.
Except it's the
Somebody.
Quizmaster. You guys can
I'll throw the quizmaster against the table and crush the table.
Actually, you might do that anyway, just for no other reason.
Yeah, someone comes up to you. Hey, we didn't have the camera ready. Yeah. What camera? I wasn't exactly. a bit. I just literally picked him up and threw him through a table. I don't think it would be possible to play a hockey game in the conditions the Bills and Colts played yesterday.
No.
Were they ever going to cancel that game? Like, or does it, like, does football, other than lightning, do they ever stop?
Never. They're not canceling that game.
It went to overtime. That's the best part. Like, they
when
played
those
extra
10 guys
time.
When those 10 guys were trying to clear the snow for Vinatieri, they looked like a bunch of kids at the schoolyard.
I thought it was awesome.
Ray, how about him making that kick? It started 45 yards right.
Yeah.
He hit a couple of curveballs, didn't he?
And then he missed a chip shot to win it.
Yeah, that was...
Did you guys see the thing? He's got a $500,000 bonus.
I know, to get to 95.5. He's got to get to 90%, and he's at like 88.
But he was at 94 when he started yesterday.
Wow. Gutless. That is gutless.
It is gutless.
And then you got a kick in that? Like, good luck. He's lucky he hit the ball.
Well, his first kick, I believe, in the first half, like, I'm watching it. There's no way the refs even knew where that was. Like, they're sitting there, they're like, I don't know, was it good? Did it? Yeah. It could have been in the stands, and they wouldn't have known. Those conditions, I found it captivating and very enthralling. Like, I was very entertained, even though the X's and O's, the meat and potatoes of the game was brutal. It was just run, 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 punt. But I couldn't stop watching simply because of the elements. And from that perspective, even though you guys might be outside and have to deal with it, I wouldn't mind seeing an outdoor game
right
like that. That Pittsburgh Sabres game, the first outdoor game, was in Buffalo, I believe, and it was the same conditions.
That was almost, I think that's almost the problem that the NHL ran into with the outdoor games, is the first one was just about perfect. You know, there was just enough snow. The weather, you know, became a bit of a challenge, but not too much. And then the game ended the way it did. It was, you know, I don't know, that one was just about perfect. But look at outside here. Would they be playing in this? I mean, we did when we were kids, but I don't know if they'd. I think they'd have to cancel it.
I don't know.
I think you'd have to.
Like, has the outdoor games run its course? Like, they had 6-1 year.
Last year, I think it was they had six.
Yeah, but not in the local markets it hasn't. I mean, no. I think as a national event it has.
Yeah.
But, like, the game in L.A., when L.A. and Anaheim played, like, they put 40,000 people in the building. And so it plays there. It doesn't really necessarily matter, I don't think, if it plays anywhere else.
Well, did you go to the one in Vancouver at the...
That was the worst.
It was the worst one.
Comedy.
I just saw it on TV.
Is that the one Bobby Lou didn't start?
Yeah, it's Eddie Lack started and Bobby Lou didn't start him.
You know what they did to make it look like it was an outdoor game? Because, of course, it's in BC Place. The roof was closed because they were worried about rain. They had cotton all over the field to make it look like snow. It was ridiculous.
I remember that. Like, it was
cotton.
Amateur.
It was like, I've been a part of an outdoor game with Calgary where it was the Heritage Classic, and it was neat. We played Montreal. It was minus 20, whatever, 6 or 8. It was ridiculous how cold it was. And it was kind of neat, you said, for the market. But the game wasn't that good. The actual hockey isn't amazing hockey. I'm trying to think back. Like, last year on the first, the Leafs won 5-4, wasn't it?
But Matthew that turned into a fun game because of the third period. The first two periods were brutal.
You were there,
I was awful.
There. Like,
the first two periods were horrible.
Yeah.
Nothing happened. Neither team did. It was almost like they agreed, like, let's try to get to overtime and each get a point, not hit anybody.
Right.
And then the third, like, Martin fought off. There were 8 goals combined or whatever it was.
Yeah, they were up 4-2, right?
And well, that's the question I have, Ray. So if that's the case, these guys are all complaining about the outdoor games. Why do the World Juniors want to have one for the biggest matchup of the tournament? Why do they want it to be an outdoor game?
Revenue.
Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, if there's 40,000 people, I guess that would be it, right? Like, it's the same reason that the NHL, like, the players will play these things as long as it puts more revenue into the, you know, in the 50-50 split with the owners. So they're in for this all the time, even if they don't really want to play the games. And I can't imagine anybody wants to play multiple games. Like, who wants to go out there and play in the snow and get rattled around when it's, you know, Noodle said the game was minus 26 or whatever. Like, who wants to get hit in that?
Nobody.
No, I'm with you on that. With Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst. So the Leafs are 20-10-1, third fastest in team history for 20 wins. Only took them 31 games. Only twice in 100 years have they got to 20 faster than that. It wasn't the prettiest of victories over the weekend, but a sweep is a sweep at Pittsburgh. I don't think you make any excuses. And last night, McElhinney made 41 stops, stood on his head. But how good are the Leafs? I mean, the standings say they're a top 4 or 5 team in the league. I mean, what are they to you at 20-10-1?
Well, I think there gets to be a certain point where your record really tells you what you are. You know, 10 games in, it's a little bit of a different story. You can have people that, or teams that kind of you know, they get off to a hot streak and they're up at the top of the league, but you know they're going to settle back in. I don't see teams that are way better than Toronto that are in that top five. I mean, St. Louis is a hell of a team. I don't know. Yeah, I mean, with the injuries they've had, what they've done is just amazing. Tampa is great. They're, you know, they've been as good as anybody. Winnipeg is really good. Toronto, like, why aren't they there? I would consider them a top half dozen team for sure.
Well,
even when it doesn't look good. I mean, we don't watch the other teams as closely as we watch the Leafs. So I'm sure Tampa's won a few games where they haven't been great, but they just win anyway. And Toronto's had games like that.
Yeah,
absolutely. Last night, you know, good example.
Well, they had two this last week. Other than that, they've been, I mean, because was it against Calgary where Anderson was ridiculous?
Yeah. Anderson was unbelievable. Yeah.
Well, Ray, what do you think about that whole narrative where they can't keep giving up these shots? People talk about it, whether it's the analytics crowd or just hockey fans. Can they keep it up where everyone's saying, when you go into a slump, you're giving up way too many shots and you're winning games you probably shouldn't win, and then it starts going south, and then when you're coming out of it, you're like, you should win some games that you don't win, but then you get out of it. What do you make of the shots against and the way they're playing defense?
Well, I think the next level of what we'll see with analytics, it'll become public that teams use a lot, is the quality of shots, just not the number of them. Like, we use just number publicly, basically, because that's, you know, there's no way to sit there and break down quality of shot for each game of each team of each shot. So you can give up 35 shots and think of the goalie after and go, man, he made two good saves out of 35 shots because they were all from the outside. It wasn't a big deal. Like last night, if that was the way the games always were, I think I'd be a little more concerned in that. What did Edmonton hit? Four posts?
Yeah, they had a bunch.
I mean, there were some quality looks that they got lucky on. The shot McDavid hit the goal post on, I don't know if McElhinney could have looked more awkward when he was fishing around for his stick and he was on his hands and knees and and then all of a sudden, cling, it hits it again. I don't necessarily think they defend poorly. I don't think there's any question they would like to add another defenseman. Like, I don't know how they couldn't want to add another one. Just for example, you know, like, I know Connor McDavid is special, and he was incredible last night.
Wasn't that amazing, watching him play last night?
It was like a junior player playing against a peewee. Like, when he had the puck, when he got out into the open ice, like, who was going to catch him? He went around Ron Hainsey last night. When the one where McElhinney poke checked him, I couldn't believe how fast he got by him. Like, it was, it's astounding. He was so far the most impactful player on the ice last night. And yet they didn't, you know, they couldn't get anything to go. But I think Toronto would like to, I think they will explore and would like to add another defenseman before before March rolls around. And I think that would just be good business, but you know, I don't know. I every time I think their defense isn't good enough, I think of, well, Pittsburgh won the Cup last year, and their best defenseman was in the playoffs was Hainsey and Dumoulin. Like, they didn't have Letang; it was a nondescript group. And so I'm like, well, why can't Toronto be that? I think they can.
Well, I mean, as for McDavid, we were talking about this earlier, where Edmonton, and we've been saying this for weeks, they're well beyond moral victories. You can't have moral victories when you're into mid-December and you're 12-16-2. But they spanked the Habs on Saturday, and they were the better team last night. But I come away from that game, and I've watched them closer than most teams because of McDavid, because they're Canadian, because of the connection with Toronto, because both teams were so bad for so long. And I just wonder, like, is McDavid so good where you almost throw shade on the rest of the team because you're like, wow, you got to pull your weight here, where it's impossible for them to pull their weight because he's so good.
Dominates every game.
Like, last night was such a dominating performance. Or is it he is so good and the rest just isn't that good? Like, they've got, obviously, Dreisaitl's good, Nugent Hopkins. I mean, they've got good players. But is it the McDavid show, and if you shut him down, the rest of the team just isn't that good? Or is it that he's so good that the other players are still good, but obviously you're focused on the superstar because of how he plays?
Well, at the start of the year when we were talking about, and a lot of people were talking about, but in particular us, we're talking whether Edmonton or Toronto, which team would you want? And like my own opinion was, I felt there were holes in their forwards, never mind the defense, that they didn't have enough wingers. And I think that you can see that's part of the problems that they have. You know, they've got these three centermen. When McDavid or when Draisaitl's not playing on the wing, he's playing in the middle. They've got 1, 2, 3 of McDavid, Draisaitl, Nugent, Hopkins, and then you know they got Puljujarvi, who's just getting going. You got Lucic, who is he's okay. Maroon's had a career high last year, was ineffective. Has been mostly ineffective this year. They traded Eberle for Ryan Strome. They got Drake Cajula. I mean, like, their wings are just not anywhere near up to par with the middle of the ice. I think it's the latter one that you mentioned, Brian. They're not as good as the way things went last year. They were outstanding this weekend, but man, they're in pretty bad shape here. And I was impressed. I was impressed to heck with them last night. I thought they were really good.
Well, you mentioned the whole weekend and Saturday night. We haven't talked about Carey Price, but all of a sudden his last three games, like what happened to the Carey that came back the first five? Like his numbers are brutal. He got pulled on Saturday.
Yeah, but they lost one in overtime.
No, I know, but his numbers are what they are.
He's come back?
No, the last three games.
His last three games,
he's been brutal.
Like I know he's really calm and... You know, Noodles, maybe you can speak about this, but the one goal he gave up, he stopped the puck behind the net.
Yeah, it was way too casual.
Oh, my gosh. He looked like he was playing like Sunday morning hockey. And I wonder where that comes from, because they've shown time and again they don't really have a chance unless he's really good.
Yeah, that was the Cara goal. He picked it out of the air.
And then he just like kind of meandered his way back to the net like he had... I don't know what he was doing, but they had a really nice run there, and now they've given a lot of it back.
Yeah. Well, they got to get going. Like, it's the truth, and Price got rinsed the other night. Edmonton was really good. Price wasn't that sharp. And listen, it's not getting easier. Like, as the season goes on, it's going to get harder, it's going to get tighter, it's going to get tougher to score. Defense is going to be at a premium. So, you know, I don't know if he's at a dip in his play. He certainly wasn't very good the other night. The game before, the overtime game, I thought he was pretty good. I watched that game.
We might be micro-analyzing here, clearly, but it's because he's Price and he's had such a weird year.
And you expect it, exactly. And the problem is you expect it every night. Just like
well,
we expect
the other thing is they can't win without it.
Right.
So it makes it even more... critical for them.
Oh, it screams at you. If he's playing poor, like three games, his numbers have dropped and they've lost all three. You know, one was an OT, like you said, but still. And the thing that they have going for them is they're in the right division.
They're in the Atlantic.
Yeah, like Ottawa looks like they're just, I don't know what happened there. Like maybe that Sweden trip just spun them right off this continent and they've never returned home. But
it's quite a trip to Sweden if that was...
Something happened because, you know, Buffalo's done. I don't think Florida's good enough. Detroit's never been good enough. If Ottawa's done, you know, the Habs can look at it and say, you know, four teams behind us, we don't really have to worry about them. Like, which one of those teams are going to make a run?
Well, Ray, like, if you're Ottawa in Edmonton, aren't you looking at this? Like, if you just go to the overall section in the standings, you're not recovering from that, are you? Like, you're not.
How does Ottawa do it?
No.
Like, how would they?
Or Edmonton.
And now... You know, with this, you know, the news that came out this weekend that the general manager, Pierre Dorion, has gone to the players and asked them that have no move clauses or partial new moves clauses to submit their list. Like,
is that a PR stunt?
Well, I don't know what it is, but I'll tell you, that's got to be real fun times in there this week, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. Don't worry about it, guys. Go ahead and play. Oh, by the way, give me which lists you don't want to be traded to because I'm looking to trade anyone that makes sense for us right now. I mean, maybe that's the way you got to do it, and that news gets out, but that they're in Buffalo tomorrow. If they lose tomorrow, like do they
make a coaching move? Do they make a deal? Like, they can't. Whatever they got going is not anywhere near good enough. They got smoked in San Jose at the end of that trip.
Yeah. I was telling the boys, I'm driving down to Buffalo tomorrow, so it should be...
Have fun.
The roads, you never know.
Just a barn burner on a Tuesday night.
Bottom bowl right now.
The worst two teams in the conference.
What do they say? Good seats still available.
Well, you never know. Well, and I think Florida, like, I think Florida's in trouble with Luongo out. I saw James Reimer do 4 snow angels in 5 minutes on the ice the other night. And I text somebody I know, and like the response I got, like, it was
lethal.
I text the goalie coach, and like, not in Florida, obviously, and said, "Are you watching this?" I said, "Yeah." And they ended up winning that game, but you know, James is—he's a good 2. He's not a number 1, and they got to rely on him.
Who plays a more boxy style of goal, James Reimer or Curtis McElhinney?
Curtis is more. To me, Curtis is more efficient. I think he tracks the puck.
Who cares what style they play? McElhinney stopped the puck, and I don't think Reimer is right now. End of story. There's your goalie analysis.
Wow. I love that because, man, you both end up, when you're facing the backboards and the puck's in the slot, I often think that's probably not the best way to go about it.
No. He was flopping around a few times last night, but
the scarecrow.
41 stops at 41 stops. He had himself an evening. Anyway. All right, buddy. This was fun in the 6 p.m. hour.
I like it. It was kind of different. I like it. I'm feeling it.
Yeah, we're
Let's
feeling
switch.
It.
Sure. Who do we talk to? Let's get it done.
Yeah,
I'm in.
It won't happen.
You in?
Okay.
Hang on, Ray. Are you in?
I'm sure. It doesn't matter to me.
Ryan?
Well, you can't because you're calling games.
Yeah,
so
that's right.
So you'll be in the door.
We
got
to fly, buddy. I'll be finished dinner by then.
Yeah. Just go to the bench in between during the first period. Call us.
All right. We'll make an adjustment every once in a while.
I think we should do this. Do you think Tyler can handle this or no?
God, no.
Yeah, that's a good point. He doesn't have a chance. Does he?
That hour difference would just overwhelm him.
All right, buddy.
We gotta
have a good night, boys. We'll talk to you from Philly tomorrow.
And there's Ray Ferraro on Overdrive, brought to you by Valiant Financial for fast approvals and competitive payment plans and options on heavy equipment from any dealer. Visit valiantfinancial.ca. Leafs in Philly tomorrow taking on the Flyers. I think 8 of their next 9 are on the road.
They've Leafies?
Got, yeah, their yeah, one home got... game is a 2 o'clock game on a Tuesday against Carolina. So it's a tough schedule, but they don't have the most difficult teams. They got Philly, obviously. They're in Minnesota. They go through Arizona, Colorado, Vegas to close it out on New Year's Eve.
Yeah, so there's some winnable games.
You can win some of these games.
Yep.
And they've banked a lot of points where if they take a bit of a step back, I don't think people are going to freak out. But there's no need to.
Mm-hmm.
You want to keep rolling, keep rolling. Keep the good times rolling in Toronto, unless you're on one of the major highways right now or a side street downtown.
Be safe.
Because it just is ludicrous weather, and I guess we've been waiting for this. When you had the September and October that you had.
Good luck getting home for all of us. Like, it's going to be 2 hours.
Yeah. Godspeed to the three of us trying to make it home. Get back into TFC, the NFL news, how Stanton could affect what the Jays do down at the winter meetings. Ross Atkins with an interesting comment about all of the buzz around Stanton and the Yankees. We'll tell you about that next. Listen to Overdrive every weekday for the Maple Leaf Upper Deck lineup player of the day. On Friday, come with the names of all 5 players. You can win a pair of lower bowl seats to see the Leafs take on San Jose January 4th at the ACC. Also, for the next few weeks leading up to the holidays, our winner will also take home 1 full case of 2017-18 Upper Deck Series 1 Team Triple collectible hockey cards. And today's theme is former Leafs who played with Patrick Marleau. Today's Maple Leaf lineup player of the day is Owen Nolan.
Oh, yeah.
That's how long Marlowe's been in the league. Owen Nolan, the Upper Deck Leafs lineup, is brought to you by Upper Deck Team Triples, available at ZephyrEpic.com.
Mm-hmm.
Owen Nolan. Wonder what he's up to these days.
Lives in San Jose, does a fishing show.
Yeah, doesn't he have a bar there?
Does some stuff with the Sharks.
Yeah, he's got a bar there, too, I think.
He's got quite a gig going on.
I mean, he made some money in his career.
You kidding me?
Yeah.
I think he's in pretty good shape.
He'll be all right. He's not struggling to feed his family.
Well, that was funny about...
I think his nickname was Buster.
Yeah, Buster's a nickname. It was Buster.
This whole Stanton to New York stuff, the concerns about the new tax situation for him in New York.
Yeah.
As if he's getting paid minimum wage and now he has to live in Manhattan.
No.
Like, but I'm not going to shed any tears.
Yeah, 380 left. You can make it work.
Mm-hmm. Like, I know it is. You're getting taxed more.
Yeah.
But
and that was
still...
a big thing, Brian, when the Stamkos deal went down in Tampa. He's saving X amount by... It's like, we're talking about money that...
No, you're right. That's money that he doesn't need, but it just...
Not need. It's just it's not applicable when you're talking that amount of dollars. Like, you're talking about money your grandkids can't spend if you have half a brain. Stop bringing it up.
But that's an important caveat to mention. Guys exactly. don't always
ask
half
Andre
a brain.
Andre Rison, is it? No. Is that him?
Andre Rison.
Well, you can go ahead and watch the documentary. It's called ESPN Broke. Find it on Netflix, wherever you want to find it. You'll see guys that started investing in car washes and bought parents' houses and had to go up to their parents and say, actually, you have to move up or you have to move out because I'm done.
But the
I'm
truth
busted.
Is, those guys, it doesn't matter if they made a million or a billion, they were going to lose it all.
Yeah.
Like Mike Tyson was going to lose.
Mike Tyson at one point was worth $350 million.
Yeah. He filed for bankruptcy. Yeah. The guy had nothing because he's buying exotic tigers
but he
and
pigeons.
Didn't pay taxes in Connecticut for a year. Like there were so many things. He bought Don King. I remember seeing this in USA Today, how his money went out the door. He had bought Don King like three or four like Rolls Royces. That's just your manager. Like it was, it's sad because... He thinks that the money was going to be there forever. I mean, Mayweather, do you ever think that you'll wake up one day and this guy's made so much money and this guy is it's gone, like pissed
it
all
away? It wouldn't shock me at all. I think there's a better chance Conor McGregor's going to find himself in that spot. That's why the news today that he and Pacquiao's camp are talking about a super fight, it's all about money. Like he'll never fight again in the UFC until he has to fight again in the UFC. Like I don't get the impression... And I wouldn't be either. Like
he doesn't
passionate
have to do
about
anything
stepping
ever
in
again
until you don't have any money left. Like, and that's why Mayweather keeps circling back because he's got homes kids he's got to pay for. He's got homes. He's got cars. I believe he had back taxes issues as well. Yeah. Mayweather. So that's what all these guys come back for. They
I've
come
dealt
back
with some money, not
to.
Even on the same level or scale. But I think if I was talking about that amount of money and I knew I had a dumb, impulsive side to me, I would dig a hole in my backyard and shove $5 million in a bag and just bury it and say, this is the you-know-what has hit the
fan. The Andy Dufresne.
But, dude, you know
this is my own Andy Dufresne under the rock, under the
but
tree.
But I feel like once you hit, you started to spend the other side. Be like,
you'll
I
just
got
be
five
like, I'm
going to
dig up
then.
The hole.
Exactly. Yeah. You can't dig it yourself. You've got to give it to somebody and you say, you go put it somewhere. If you dig the hole, it might as well be in a bank because you still have access to it. You know it's under that tree in the backyard.
Exactly.
And imagine you actually had like $100 million dug up in the backyard. Do you know how paranoid you would be?
Yeah.
I'd have a gun on my back porch all day. If anyone came close to my property, I'd shoot.
Yeah. I'd have like remember that game Operation where if you went anywhere near the hole, it would just somebody would slingshot a rock at the guy's cranium.
Yep. Like Purolator guy walking around the house. Sorry, that's going to cost you a cranium. I know. I have $100 million in the back.
But that's where that education comes with a lot of, you know, there are some good financial advisors out there. But the unfortunate part is we hear stories. For every five or six great stories we hear one or two that are awful. You know, ask Jack Johnson. You know, in Columbus.
And that was his family sewer.
It is. It's gross.
Yeah,
it's gross. I mean, we were just talking off air. LeVar Ball. Not LeVar.
Yeah, LeVar, the old man, has sent his two youngest boys over to Lithuania, I think it is.
Yeah.
So they're going to play pro ball over in Lithuania. One of them's a high school kid.
Like, it just worries me that this guy has got, you know, he's taking the checks.
I'm not talking about this loser. I'm not doing it.
That's the problem. Is
you love it. You want him on the show.
I would have him on the show.
I would have him on the show, too, just out of curiosity. But it just, I feel like I'd get in an argument with him because I don't respect the guy.
It's an interesting story, at the very least. The guy's got three kids. One of them went second overall
and
to the Lakers.
And he's very talented, and by all accounts, seems like a pretty good kid.
Yes, but there are a lot of fears that LeVar Ball is going to sewer the whole situation before he even gets a chance to prove that. Speaking of Stanton again, I've been saying this all afternoon. indirectly, this may have been an absolute Christmas present to Shapiro and Atkins, because if they ever were to move on from Donaldson or blow it up or think about 2-3 years down the road, now would be the time to do it, because I think a lot of Jays fans are thinking, how are we possibly going to compete with that Yankees lineup?
Right.
And the Red Sox are already better, and you know they're going to counter by signing J.D. Martinez or something crazy this offseason themselves. They're going to make a move and keep contending and keep improving. And no one's bracing themselves for the Jays to spend massive money this offseason.
Right.
But Atkins was asked specifically about Stanton's move to the Yankees and how this affects him and what he makes of all the buzz. And now everyone is a pundit and everyone's saying, well, clearly the Yankees are going to win the American League.
Well, actually, you know, we're already doing everything we can to make this organization the best one it can be. So the reaction would be, should we do less? Because this team is going to be such a monster that we don't feel that we can be competitive. That's not difficult to do. It's not difficult to say, no, we're going to be competitive. It actually, you know, would be extremely, extremely unusual, given, you know, where we are and how good we feel that our team is. And again, it just goes back to the conviction and confidence that we have in the core here.
All right, so
the conviction and confidence in the core we have here.
A 76 win team, the oldest team in the American League. What is the core? That's the thing. That's the problem that I think Jays fans have. Okay, Donaldson, if he's here, clearly a core piece.
Right.
Stroman, core piece. If Sanchez is healthy, core piece. Osuna, core piece, although he had some red flags in his game last year, blowing a lot of saves.
I'm telling you right now, I think in Jamie and my position, when we're dealing with a different sport, we would possibly tend to do the Mike Babcock Coors Light slow pitch in Niagara Falls, where it's just, but we have to start asking this guy what the hell is going on, because he doesn't answer anything. We don't know what the hell he's up to, what he's thinking.
Right.
It's like, what are you doing? Like, what are you up to? What direction are you going? Do you have anything to say? It's like, we don't know.
Well,
and I get it. You like in pro sports, all these guys want to hold everything close to their vest.
Right.
But it's like, what do you got? We don't know.
And the Stanton news, I wasn't expecting him. No one's going to come out and say, hey, the Yankees are going to win 100 games next year. They're the greatest team of all time. You're not going to do that. And the point he made is one that I would agree with, that they had a plan. It's not going to change because of one player. But I think the problem is that you had a plan based on the Yankees being better than you already, based on the Red Sox being better than you already, and now the Yankees have improved.
Right.
So they're even better than what you thought they were going to be when you put forth this plan that I'm not sure anyone is really aware of.
You probably adjusted then.
Well, I've been saying this for months. You either sign Donaldson long-term or you trade him.
Yeah,
this offseason. I don't want to see a situation
like crapper get off the pot
where they get to July and they're hovering around 500 and they're still doing okay in attendance and they say, you know what, we can't sell him now, we got to stick around, and then they fizzle out in September, they win 78 games and he walks as a free agent and they get nothing for him and there's nothing about the 2018 season that's memorable other than the fact that he left you hanging.
Yeah,
which wouldn't be his fault because he'd be a free agent at that point. But by all accounts, Atkins speaking with the media at the winter meetings, he said again today what he said before, they're trying to improve on this core that they have, and that's difficult for them to believe they can do that without Donaldson being a part of it. So take that for what it's worth. Time now for our best bets brought to you by ProLine. Looking at the hockey board tonight, Caps are starting to win some games.
They are compiling a nice little record there.
That's
what are they, 18-11 and something or other?
We're not worried about them. Like
yeah.
Regular season, what did we say? Like they can win 20 in a row, mm-hmm. Or they could lose 20 in a row. They'll make the playoffs, but guess what? Like, it's what you do in the playoffs. That's
absolutely
why I think they're a very dangerous, sneaky team.
I got them winning tonight on the aisle. I'll go over the number. Detroit, Florida, James Reimer, the snowman himself.
No, he's not the snowman. The scarecrow.
You call him the scarecrow. I listen. James is a good guy and he's a good goalie, buddy.
Like, the scarecrow.
They've got to give them some help there in Florida.
In Winnipeg, they've lost three in a row. They're back home against Vancouver. Vancouver, Barchi, they've got some injury problems.
Barchi's out. Bo Horvat's out. Horvat out for 6 weeks. But
perfect reason for them to just start
Brock Besser, though, having he's got 15 goals.
Well, he's been great. Throw down 20, you can score 94. You can find my picks on Twitter at TSN 1050 Radio and get way into the game with ProLine. It's the sports betting game that lets you turn small wagers into big excitement. ProLine, get way into the game. What a weekend it was. It's been a wild afternoon. We'll recap it next. All right, Raps back in action tonight, taking on the Clippers. They've won six in a row. Just quietly going about their business, second in the East, doing their thing. As we would expect they would. I mean, they've been very consistent for years. We know what their whole season is about. What are you going to do in the playoffs?
Raps at Sacramento didn't have a whole lot of mojo around it. I don't know what it was, but it was like, this feels like a... I played Ottawa and Carolina on a Tuesday night. It was like...
Well, in this market, people were still buzzing from TFC. The Leafs had won the night before. McDavid was in town.
This was in Sacramento.
No, I know that. Sacramento's such an awful team.
It was
and they've
a
been
weird
brutal
vibe,
for years,
man.
And they don't have any selling points. And but I'm saying here, like, this was a tough weekend for the Raps to get on the radar with Leafs taking on Pitt.
Exactly.
McDavid in town for, you know, the only time all year. TFC winning. The NFL was wild yesterday. Like, we could have talked about Carson Wentz injury, that Bills game all day. You know, there's a lot going on. Your boy Tom Savage playing concussed. It's one of those days.
You wonder if there's going to be a quarterback summit in the NFL.
Never know.
I mean, we have the Canadian summits. Like, when goaltenders suck, we got to figure out what's going on. How do you protect quarterbacks? Carson Wentz, Aaron Rodgers, Deshaun Watson, Carson Palmer, Tannehill, Luck, Bradford. They're all gone.
That was a great take. Where was that at, like, 5:30?
We're saying goodbye. Like, we got to say goodbye.
That was unbelievable. Where did that come from?
I was just thinking about it today. And
it's a great take. Save that for tomorrow. We'll get back into it.
How do we protect the quarterbacks in the NFL?
Yes.
We're out of here. We're back tomorrow at 4 p.m.
To talk NFL. We'll chat then.